Now, what time is Azan?
Quarter past eight. We'll go over past ten.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected علماء إكرام, you are more pious than me, you are better than me in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. As I said earlier, Hafiz Ab knows me, so Hafiz Ab don't give me my secrets, huh? So anyway, خير. Really, it's about this whole field and what we're talking about is about reprogramming our computer. You know, taking our hard drive, formatting it, if you want to be more technical and do more things, when the viruses are set in the hard drive, you have to actually delete the hard drive. Then we'll create the partition, we'll do everything, and we'll reinstall our Windows on there. So whatever we've learned and we've grown up generally in our communities, you know, you're growing up there, Mulan knows in Marisburg, that Mulan, that Hazrat, that uncle there, he got a gift there, he'll take his stick, he'll hit the jinn out of you. This person got a gift, he can do this and he can do that. So, respected friends in Islam, we have to leave everything out and we have to really turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something unique to any person and any individual, but anybody can do it. The reason and its importance for ulama to learn. Number one, ulama are suffering. Ulama have issues. Why? If they stop the alim, then they stop the community. Myself in a madrasa, so in my, I'm there in Escort, we're working with divots. So if you open my back door, so I have got a backyard that I can go to, why? Because the girls' madrasa is there. We've got about a capacity of about 30 girls, all the mainly revert African students. And, you know, my life was in turmoil. You know, ups and downs, arguments and fights. So if I came to you, we're going to sort our problem out, then, you know, this wife of mine is troubling me, but on that night, Molana, you know, you say, you can take the jinn out of the woman, but not the woman out of the jinn. So, here, what happens now? You'll tell me, hey, but you know, there's no essence of your fight and your differences. Just sort the thing out, man. You know, overcome things yourselves and you'll be okay. There's no real concrete thing that you need a separation or divorce or anything like that. Sort it out. So things were crazy. Obviously, you know what, we'll do some amal and then you'll feel that things coming right. And that's the effect. You start reading manzil every day with the intentions and that. You'll start feeling things coming right and your amal goes down, you take a week and then you'll see problems start coming up again. So up and down like that. So myself also, I wasn't one who grew up in the mentality of always checking your molana or what's happening. No. So we never really think about it. And you don't ever think that we are special or important that people will make sihar on us. But you as ulama, you are important. You are really valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan is harder on an alim than 1,000 worshippers. So in my case, so what happened is that in 2015 or so, we had sangomas that ended up sitting outside our house, which we just thought they passerbys on the road. So the distance from my house, maybe maximum to where the entrance of the masjid is there. And they're making live sihar on us. But you don't think anything of this until the girls in the madrasa, they started becoming possessed one by one. So from one girl, it went to 10 girls out of 25 who were fully possessed at one time. One girl was crippled. She couldn't walk. I used to take her myself to the hospital for about over 6 months. They were playing netball and she got hurt. But she never had a fracture or a hairline fracture or anything. They sent her to one hospital and they sent her to a bigger hospital, to another town. But nothing was coming right. Eventually, her eyes even started closing up. What can I tell you? It was crazy life, right? I used to keep the curtains closed. Do not want my children to know what's happening outside in this fear of anything happening to them. So we used to phone them, the Molanas, they should send the jinn for help. And Waqiyat, then they should send the jinn also to help. Then also, if you see my property also, we've dug the four corners and everything. But the problem just then stood, changed, whatever it was. Then the girl said in the madrasa, I said, Molana, you know what, and you know, that whatever we should do, we should read Quran. We don't know any systematic reading of Quran, any niyat that we need to make. I didn't know nothing like that. I just know we need to read and give azan, this, that, all those type of things. So I'll give you an example. So when the girls in the madrasa used to get possessed, it was crazy. So our boarding is a big hall. So it's about 7 by about 15 meters or so. And there's bunk beds in the madrasa. So every day it was like crazy. So when things were so much, they couldn't handle anything. Then I had to come in, go help them. So I was sitting in the boarding. Another brother was sitting, he did not know much Quran and everything. So I told him, see, you must read Surah Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, and three codes continuously non-stop. And I started reading Surah Al-Baqarah. And then every now and then I would like fall asleep. And when I fell asleep, the the girls would start screaming and shouting. Then I'd start reading again. And then they'll keep quiet. So the next day, the girls were talking, and they told my wife also, no, you know what? Every time when Maulana was reading, now, because when they possessed, when a person is possessed, they have openings in the body which shows them the unseen. So now they could see what was happening in that. So I couldn't see nothing. I could not see anything. So, but I was reading and what have you. But they said that every time Maulana read, what happened is that across the hall, so across the 7 meters, a barrier was formed. They could see a barrier. And all the shayateen which were attacking, they were pushed behind the barrier and they had to stand on that side. And every time Maulana fell asleep, the barrier was broken and the jinn and shayateen were able to come across and attack the girls. And then he started reading again and they were forced back. So the reality is that is nur. Although we can't see what's happening in that world, what we have and what we do is nur. We ulama have issues and have problems. So one is ourselves to identify our issues and to give us that adrenaline shot to push our amal and remove all the shaitani and the jali effects from our lives. Together with that, we have communities, we have students. We got a student in his class. He's a master. He's learning, mashallah. And all of a sudden, he's stuck. What do I do to help him? I'm also at loss. I mean, before all our training, I was at loss. I didn't know, not know what to do as well. Then we have a person, a counselor. You're helping the husband and wife. You can see things are not adding out. Normally when people, you're coming in to make some resolution, then what happens is that the problem is supposed to at least minimum stay the same, if not get better. But it shouldn't be getting worse, because now we're sitting for resolving our issues, isn't it? But we notice every time we're sitting down to sort the problem, it's actually getting worse. And we can't come to a conclusion. So now, how do you sort that out? You're in a welfare department. A person comes to you, now you know this person is not a druggie. You know he's not a gambler. You know he's doing nothing, all wrong things. You know he's using the money. Take the money. You're going to get you a supermarket, a tuck shop, right? Start your business. Or get you a job. You see this person is always failing. So we need to sit these people down in the different fields, wherever we're servicing people. Then we can do a diagnosis, ask them. And even if you can't do a diagnosis, we need to put those people and individuals on some Quranic amal to sort it, remove the shaitani effect so they can sort their problem out going forward. There are Muslims, even ulama in one town, who alim was going to a Hindu for shifa. And it will work. So the end does not justify the means. The end doesn't justify the means. The people's iman is taken away. So either knowingly or unknowingly, they will fall into shirk. Because we're not giving them a solution. You're saying, hey, I don't know. I'm scared. I don't know. So now you left them on their own, to their own devices. Right? So even those people and atheists, they are people who also indulge in magic. So now when a person goes to the Sangoma, for shifa, they're not even attacking anybody else. They're going for their own problem. What is happening now? Now, those are shayateen which are troubling you are the piginis. They are the small shaitan. The bigger shayateen come into play. They'll say, right, listen here. Let's get this person now to do an act of shirk, knowingly or unknowingly. So what happens now? This person's iman is stolen. The iman is taken away. And then, right, your problem is gone. But the bigger problem of akhirat has started. So Allah Ta'ala save us all. So we have to give the ummah some solution. And as we had mentioned earlier in the Awam program, which is part of our program also as well, is the solution is something very, very easy. When we go in Jamaat, it is some simple work. What people are taking the bedding from this place to that place or whatever it is. Allah resolve all those issues in today's time as well that's happening. But the simplicity of the work has deceived the masses of what the results of the work have achieved. So similarly, the Quran Kareem and this Rukya treatment that we are talking about using the Quran only, it is so simple, but the effects are so great. I started the story that time, I never tell the Awam, that lady came to me. So she messaged, I sent her back the diagnosis, the treatment and everything, I WhatsApped it to her. So she said, so then after Ramadan, about 2 months later, we went to see her. So she was there with the husband, somebody was going to discuss something. So I'll mention a few perils in this thing. But anyway, let's do that now. So there are issues in this field. There are pitfalls in this field that the awam are faced with. Number one is the money. The money. It's permissible to take money for rukyah. The Sahabi, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sent the Sahaba, they invited the Sahabi read over the chief that the story I mentioned, and the person got shifa, 40 animals, 40 sheep or 40 goats were given in payment. Sahaba had a difference, not whether you should get paid or not. They had a difference of whether you should be shared amongst us or not. So they said, okay, we're going to go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, share it amongst you and also give me a share. So that shows you that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate the money, ate the wealth of ruqyah. So it is permissible to take money. But now to take that as a leeway and as a door to open to extort money from people. Now the person is better, whatever it may be now. Hey, by a long time now, you never come in. We need to do some maintenance treatment, you know. And then the person hasn't got money. People who are suffering haven't got money also. So now you're going to extort them. You say, no, you go, you come back when you got money. So we formed the organization also as well to say, see, we regulate the pricing. We can't charge more than this, but we charge less if we need to, and we can't turn a person away. Why? Because people are suffering, and people are losing thousands of rands, if not at times, even people who are doing ruqyah, meaning like this exact system what I'm doing, they will charge over even 100,000 of rands to get this work done. Yet a person can do it on their own, right? So the money is a problem. Second thing is, woman is a problem. Doesn't mean now you're a raki, you're a big hazrat. No, you also got nafs. So, and it's permissible. We know the fatawa, we know the masail. That if a person is sick, you can do treatment for them. The lady is possessed, you want to do some cupping and reading for her, you can do all of that. However, the better way and the safer way for us, we train the ladies up. Whatever a man can do, a lady can do. So a lady can treat a lady. So it saves you from that fitna also as well. One alim told me that he referred himself, a senior alim told me, he referred one lady to a certain amil. That amil, he told the lady, you know what, you need to be clean. So, but anyway, you need to take a proper bath and everything before I see to you. But I got a lot of appointments and that, so I don't know when next I'm going to give you an appointment, but if you want to have a shower, you can have a shower. This Hazrat, he jumped in a shower with her also. But Allah Pak saved her and she managed to escape and everything like that. Allah Ta'ala kept her izzat. But that is the condition. One Hindu lady, we treat non-Muslims also for dawah purposes. And some people also already, alhamdulillah, they have accepted Islam. This Hindu lady, now you know they have yaqeen in the Muslims also. So they went to one person in Chatsworth. That person told him, hey, you know what, the tear is deep down inside you. I need to take it to clean a room. So he done things like that. But yet, whatever it was, still, she had yaqeen in the Quran and everything. There was one patient, a non-Muslim, the transliteration of Surah Fatiha and everything she should read. You know, things like that. So we need to protect the izzat of the woman, and we need to promote, use the ruqyah, on the side note was there, for dawud purposes as well. Right? And the third thing is power. So everybody keeps the knowledge secret to themselves. So I got the power and nobody else. I need to be in control because I'm the one who's doing everything. No. So what we do is we have expounded and we have made the knowledge available to everybody. There's no secrets. I don't go home and do anything special. The same treatment of bathing, oiling and all that, that's what the treatment I do as a Raki, that is exactly the same treatment I do. There's nothing unique to me that I do, that I tell the patient to do and I do, I don't do anything like that. No. So the money, woman, power, it's a problematic thing. So we need to sort that problem. And the more ulama know this, the ruqyah, the more the awam is going to be protected. And people have access to a shifa. All right? And obviously now we say, Murana, I got no time. See, you're already dealing with people in your madrasa or in your masjid or in your community. You already got a following. You already have people. So if you just learn the ruqyah just to help those people, you don't have to see the all and sundry. No problem, just those people. And that too, you can take your appointments when you want to see the people whenever you want. Right? So if people want to see you, no, I'm not available now. I'll give you an appointment for next week or whatever it may be. But obviously, the sooner the better. But khair. Then the next worry is that, see, now our problem was so crazy. What I've been through, just I gave to you. However, life was crazy. It was mad. But so I just said, hey, you know what? What difference it makes if I do ruqyah? I'm already catching a good hiding here. What difference if I do ruqyah for others? So when you do ruqyah for others, meaning read over the person or you read over an item that they're going to use, that's when the risk factor starts. So a person saying, Morana, you know what? A friend of mine said, Manjo, you know what? You know, this jinn, they live for long, man. You can protect yourself, your children can protect themselves, but what's going to happen to your progeny? You know, this jinn will bide their time and they'll catch them. So you see, then I took advice from an alim. He told me, see, If that is the situation, that is the case, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. We make intention to help others, Allah Ta'ala will help us. You're doing it to protect the iman of others, Allah will protect the iman of your progeny to Qiyamah, inshallah. And when you're reading, now remember, I wouldn't have not been reading so much of Quran if I wasn't doing Ruqya. Right? Whenever I'm reading Ruqya for everybody, I'll make intention for myself and my family first. So it's even more protection than I would have normally had anyway. So even if that is too daunting for us, because if you haven't got a problem and you start doing Ruqya for others, then definitely you are going to have a problem. So me sitting here, if you're going to tell me, I'm not telling it out of pride or anything or arrogance that I'm so powerful, I'm nothing. It's just to make you understand that, see, if you ask me now if sihr has been done on me right now as I sit here, yes, sihr is being done on me. Is jinn and shayateen troubling me? Right? When you read for someone, you are breaking that work. The magician will attack you. The jinnat will attack you. The person whose work you're destroying, they are going to attack you because it's a business for them. There's no two ways about that. And the more people you treat, the more magicians you're going to come across and they're going to attack. However, you help others, Allah will help you, and you carry on reading, and then everybody also, Allah Ta'ala will put the rob. وَقَذَّفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ. Allah will put it there. But even if that is too much for us, because if you don't have a problem, as I told you, you are definitely going to have a problem after that. All right? However, if you learn the diagnosis, you learn the symptoms, you learn what ayat to give, the treatment which I mentioned briefly to the awam earlier on, you learn the treatment properly, and you'll be able to explain it to somebody else. That is risk-free, zero risk. So you're not dealing for them. You're helping them to identify the problem, and you're telling them what to do to fight their battle. In that way, you are at zero risk. All right? So you can do the ruqya also risk-free. So very, very important. I'll give you an example with regards to I have everything documented as well. So if you tell me, listen here, Morana, you came to PE, I want to help people, how do I diagnose? How do I start? So this entire course of Ruqya, you can learn it in about 3-4 days maximum as an alim. You can learn everything. So what is the thing that you really need to learn is the practicality of it. The more you practice, the more you diagnose people, the more you read for people. When you're doing tapping on the person and you're reading and the person collapses or this or that happens, how to take care of them, not to hit them, make sure, you know, all those type of things, hands on. And that is actually what will teach you and train you. So we'll give you the document as well, free of charge, right? Free of charge. But I'm going to train more people up in Ruqya. You know why, Molana? Because I want to start off a new organization called Ruqya for the Rupya. Right? So, no problem. I'll give you the PDF document as a template. The questions will be on one side, and I'll give you another answer sheet. So when you ask the person the question, you'll be able to give them a specific verse for that. And the more you do, then the more understanding you're going to have. And you'll see, like, now when the symptom is repeating itself across the four categories. So if Qabristan Sihar is done on a person, so we have general ayat, which will give the patient to read. And then we have specific ayat according to the Sihar, right? So example, Qabristan Sihar in the four categories, like a dead person can't be successful in anything, can't do anything. And he won't even ever go to do anything. So Qabristan magic will be like that. I can't do anything. I have got to go to do it. Second category, unusual mental states. I'll feel sad, down for no actual reason. I might even feel suicidal depending on how Allah wants the sihr to affect me. In the third category of health issues, I'm going to be feeling always tired. I want to sleep and sleep and sleep. Right? In fact, like I'll say, you know, this week I'm not doing anything. I make sure I sleep early so I'm fresh. I can get back to my normal self. But it is always when you wake up in the morning like you've been at fight with someone. Right? And then you become reclusive. You do not want to be with others. Like a dead person is alone. So you want to be alone as well. And the dreams and nightmares, you will see dead people. People who have passed away, can be pious people, family members. You can see living people dead, people making janaza salah, washing a dead body. Those, now that's in that's the four categories. And you won't find one person with sihr done only Qabristan sihr and no other sihr. The magician won't work like that. He'll always take a mixture of sihr, a mixture of items, take a photograph, put a lock there, take a string with knots. Like, you know, you say, no, but that Molana there now, he reads the Quran and he ties the knots up and, you know, he'll get better. You must wait. Brothers, ulama ikram, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Moses' thing, did he tie the knots or did he open the knots? You see? So we shouldn't do things which are... We should do things which are closer to the sunnah than khilaf of the sunnah. Now, So if a person has these symptoms, we're going to say this person has kabristan sihar with them, and we're going to give them an extra verse to read to remove that sihar. Awa man kana maytan fa ahyaynahu wa ja'alna lahu nuran yamshi bihi fi an-nas. Fa anga wa idha maghdibuhum yaghfirun. For fear wa amanahum min khawf. For blockages, awalam yara alladhina kafaru anna as-samawati wal arda kanat ratqan fa fataqnahuma wa ja'alna min al-ma'i kulla shay'in hayyin afala yu'minun. For sihar of water, fa uhayna ila Musa an idrib bi asaq al-bahr. For example, a sihar of water, what will happen is you'll find your life is doing like water, your time is moving like water. You'll find your money is coming in, but now all the ulama got this problem, you know. Money is just going like water, you know. But there's no water there, so it won't go away, it's going to go. But khair, when a person has good income coming in, but the money is now going like water. Today is a car, tomorrow it's a geezer. It's something and something that is your money is going where it's not supposed to go to. And you'll find that you're starting off projects in your life. You'll build it up, and when it's time to take benefit from it, what happens? Everything gets washed away, and you have to rebuild it. You see? So you have to keep on restarting. Like when a flood comes, it'll wash things away. So in your dreams also, you'll see swimming rivers, tsunamis, all like that. I'm mentioning also about a person falling down. So they take a sihar and they'll throw it from a high place to drop a person in life. So that person has that falling feeling also as well. A person walks, they tramp on sihar, they have unusual problems with their legs. In the dreams, they might see themselves traveling different modes of transport, so on and so forth. So the footsteps are to move. So for the step on sihar, we'll give urkud bijdik hadha muhtasalun baridu wa sharab. Magic of the toilet, feces, toilet urine, which is very common thing when ulama attack. Because if we got sihar of that thing done on us, then we are become disgusting to the community, to our students, and to everybody else. So that is why they make that sihar. So what is the sihar of the toilet? What are you going to give? وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّهِرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. So you're going to ask me, but Mulana, where is all these things here? Which hadith it comes, which kitab it comes? So respect to ulama, we do not regard these ayat specifically to be sunnah in itself to be read like that. It is specifically mentioned in the hadith. However, if you look at the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba, whenever they done anything, that is why we also, whenever you do anything, you need to turn to your ustaz, your asatiza, and ask them, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, what is the limits of Shariat? In this field also, very, very important. Whoever is doing whatever type of treatment in this field, it's too long that this field has gone unchecked. No, that person knows what he's doing. No, that person knows what they're writing. In everything of our deen, we'll always have the dala'il, the discussions about everything that we do. But in this field now, we open the door and say, no, that person got a gift. That person knows, they understand. We don't know, it's okay. No, we need to check everything is within the confines of Shariat. Very, very important. Then that's what Sahaba radiallahu anhum done. They were doing ruqya. They were fighting shaitan and giving shifa. But they still went to Nabi Sallam and asked him permission that we used to do ruqya. Is it permissible or not? So Nabi Sallam, they present to me to your ruqya. So Nabi Sallam presented the ruqya to Nabi Sallam, said that la ba'asa, there's no problem with ruqya. And he gave the usul now of ruqya. Ma lam yakun fi shirkun, as long as there's no shirk in it. So in the entire system, it must be clear, it must be understood. And it mustn't be ihtimal and a possibility of shirk also. So you need to be clear in this. Alright? So Nabi Sallam gave. So you get ruqya. From this hadith we learned there was ruqya shirkiya, which Nabi Sallam bowled out, it's not permissible. Then you're going to get ruqya jahiliya, which is not Quran. It's not hadith. It's not du'as calling to Allah. But it is words. Because ruqya is to actually read over a person with the intention of shifa. The words have an effect. Alright? So even that too is permissible. Ruqya jahiliya, as long as there's no shirk in it. But over time, the Quran became the ruqya, so we got ruqya tush shari'iyya. The sahaba, the tabi'in, they made it ruqya shari'iyya, and we kept with that. So it is very important that in this field, anybody doing things, we need to check whether it is jaiz or not jaiz. You go to a person, and we don't know, we are ulama, but we don't know, we may be muftis also, but we haven't studied this field. The person now is going to a person, that person is saying, bring your finger, wallahi lazim, there's a person, he does this. You take your fingernails, you take your hair, Muslim, you take that to him, you take your used underwear, not even clean underwear, used underwear it must be, not even bought underwear. The woman must take the menses, panties, and must give it. And what happens? Now, he'll give you one red cloth, and you must throw it into the water, into the ocean, if you're in a seaside, or if you're living inland, into the river. So that is making sihr on yourself, my respected ulama. But now we don't know, so we say, hey, bhai, we don't know, so I don't know what he's doing, maybe he's right. As long as you're getting benefit, mashallah, you're getting benefit. That's our response, isn't it? So I've had close associates who took a goat's head and put in a kabristan at midnight. Why? It's an offering of a jinn. So this Prophet sends in Islam very, very, to protect the iman of people. It is very, very, we have to offer something to them, inshallah. And it's not difficult. So, coming back to that story now. So the lady now, she tells me, Maulana, hey, you come very highly recommended, you know. Hey, mashallah, you know, everybody talk about you. I said, no, is that, this is a reality, Quran, what. So anyway, she told me after this, Maulana, we got a problem for 5 years now. But in the last 2 years, when we're sleeping also, the problem got so bad that even we have got unusual infestation of insects. Even when we're sleeping, cockroaches are crawling over us. We tried exterminators, we tried everything, but nothing is working. However, now, you know, you sent us the treatment, everything to do. So we read the Rukya loudly in our house. And by the third night, the entire problem of ours, alhamdulillah, went away. So I told her, mashallah. And although I've been doing Rukya for some time now, it still fascinates me, it awes me, and I get inspired when I hear these stories and incidents. Why? Because I know I have zero effect at all. So I told the lady, see, you think I come highly recommended, but you read the Quran, you turn to Allah yourself, and Allah showed you His direct help. I never make dua for you from a distance, reading from my house, focusing on your house. I never did that for you. I never do jinn catching. I never do nothing for you. I did zero for you. I make dua in general, but I never do nothing for you. You have taken the Quran, and Allah has helped you directly. So that is where our shifa is. So as much as we are scared about this field, it is out there. If you do a census and you see how many people, Muslim people, are going to sangomas and everywhere, it is a real problem. When people faced with issues, they are desperate, they will go to desperate measures to sort their problem out, right? So, alhamdulillah, that's just the basics of it. On the website, and we can send you the PDF documents. Also, Maulana has my number. I'll give you my personal number as well as a Rukya number as well. I do have a WhatsApp chat for ulama also as well, specifically for Rukya. No daily hadith and all that over there. So we can get in contact. You can go to the information. You can learn. You can ask questions, so on and so forth, inshallah. Inshallah, after the azan, if there's any questions you want to ask, you can feel free to ask, inshallah. Not personal questions, just general about the treatment or this or that, inshallah. Another example is the azan. So in somebody just told me this incident about a few days ago. There's a non-Muslim lady staying around there in Ispingo. So her daughter was sick and she couldn't conceive and stuff like that. So one of the ulama advised her, you know, when this azan is going, you must sit, listen to it. You must make intention for all your problems with a blessing and the barakah of this azan, and Allah must take your problem away. So after some time, this lady was giving sweetmeats out to the madrasa. Why? The person asked me, what happened or something? He said, why are you doing it? What are you doing here? Like, so she told the incident that she listened to that thing, and now she got a grandchild. So just that a non-Muslim. The one audio, not even my reading, another sheikh's reading, woman was in coma for 8 months in hospital. Doctors did not know what to do, what's happening with her. Well, the non-Muslim lady just played that audio by her. I had zero dakhal. I just sent the WhatsApp audio to them. That lady woke up from a coma. Long story short, from November when they contacted us, we couldn't do cupping and all those type of things, reading Quran, giving that person things to do. By February, that person was out of rehab. They were normal walking and everything else. So the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. And, you know, it'll take our iman also when you see this thing, then Allah Ta'ala is using you. It'll increase your iman also, inshallah. Generally, the one normal issue that we challenge or, so to say, you know, debate always comes about is the issue of ta'weezes. It's because the ulama, see, simply put, whenever the asal is there, we don't need to go to the ta'bir. The ulum is more than mine. You can understand what I'm saying now. Asal is to read. You can tell me the Sahaba also wrote ta'weezes. Yes, they wrote. But they don't write grids and numbers and all that. They wrote Quran Kareem, or they wrote the actual dua, and they put for the people to wear. In every Muslim home, there's more than one Quran Sharif. So if you want a ta'weez, there's no more powerful ta'weez you're going to get. If you got multiple copies of Quran from Bismillah till Nas, written in full, so you don't need one, two numbers just to resemble one surah, whatever it may be. Simply put. All right, inshallah. So, whoever our kabir, everything they done now, sometimes they say, no, Maulana, you are calling now our kabir mushriks and all that. Na'uz billah min zalik. If a person knows the knowledge and they have written what they have written, but now for us to use something and do something which we do not have the knowledge about, it is definitely problematic. If we write Bismillahi wa barakatillah in gold on a plate and we put our food there, do I have to read Bismillah or not now? I still have to read. So very, very important. And now you know, going in the debate and fighting with Tawizes and this and that. We rather fight and bring the Ummah onto A'mal. That is the most important. People come to you, right? Okay, bye. See, yeah, you got a problem now. Now, you've been gushed so long, the guy don't want to come for namaz. We tell him, see, bye, you got a problem. After Faraz namaz, and it has to be after Faraz namaz, you have to read this. Now you brought him on A'mal. And not only that, you told him, this is namaz. Already something is going to happen, inshallah. All right, inshallah. Yeah. Okay, so the reason we do hijama for patients is cupping water has the washing effect. You know, I explained that. So the hijama will have a vacuuming effect of sihar and jinn from the body. So if you read over an individual, normally it may be like about 5 hours reading equal to about half an hour's reading with the hijama, wet cupping. So the body is open, but obviously you need to check with the patient if they have any heart diseases, complications, blood thinners, if they're anemic. You need to check all of that and accordingly. So the reason we do hijama, because it has a vacuuming effect of sihr and jinn from the body, and it multiplies the recitation of the Quran, because why? The body is opened and it has a direct injection of the nur of Quran in the body. Take inshallah, after Isha, inshallah, we'll continue. Subhanallah, we have subhanallah, we have the best of the rest of you. We'll leave them be one or two.